Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, verses 10 through 12, blessed are the persecuted. Here's Paul Chappell.
I wrote these words, and I think they're summed up as we think about this term of arming ourselves. We need to make sure that we don't react, that we don't resent, and that we don't retaliate. I'm going to say those three words again. We don't want to react. Friend, if someone says or does something to you and you come off the cuff and say something back, it's normally going to be the wrong thing. You don't want to react. You don't want to resent. You don't want to go through your whole life resenting someone or some place that's done something or said something that's hurtful to you. And thirdly, you don't want to retaliate. You don't want your life to be a life of retaliation constantly. Now, I want you to see why. Turn back to Matthew 5 for just a moment. I know we're flipping back and forth, but I looked on the sign out front this morning and it said church. So we're going to look at the Bible, okay? Now, notice what it says here back in Matthew 5. And find it very carefully there in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Notice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Folks, Christ's desire for your life and mine is that we would reign on this earth as kings. That we would live as kings and not as slaves. Christ wants you to reign as a king. He does not want you to be a slave to your rage. And what a tragedy when a Christian goes through a time of persecution. What a tragedy when a Christian, rightfully or not rightfully, is persecuted, and then they become angry and they become filled with rage, and all they can do is just talk about it and talk about someone and talk about some place, and they're just so upset all the time. They're not reigning. They're not living as a kingdom child. They're living as a slave to their rage. Any of you ever met somebody who's a slave to rage? I meet them all the time. Oh, they're angry. Boy, they're just angry at someone or at some situation. So we must arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And we must not react, resent, or retaliate. Why? Because ours is the kingdom of heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I want to live on this earth in the kingdom lifestyle that God wants me to enjoy, not as a slave to rage or hate or some other feeling of that type of nature. Now, I wonder how many of you in this room, think about it, have ever reacted wrongly to persecution or slander? How many of you would have to say, someone said something and they were getting after me and I was trying to live my best for the Lord, and all of a sudden, bam, they just lit into me, and man, I just lit back. Now, is there anybody in here that's ever responded wrongly? Maybe some boss, maybe some friend, maybe some church person, whatever. And you say, I'll be honest about it. I blew it. Anybody? All right, my hand's up. Sure. Everybody's responded wrongly. That's why we're supposed to be growing. That's why we're here today, isn't it? See, the Bible teaches that we're to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And that's why, maybe a month from now or a year from now, when someone is persecuting you, reviling you, speaking all manner of things against you falsely, if you handle it properly the next time, you'll say, that's all right, they did that to Jesus too. Huh? Instead of, all right, come on, that's it. We're going out back, buddy. Or whatever you did last time. On March 11th, 1830, a British girl was doing lessons with her tutor. And she began to study a genealogical chart. And as she studied this chart, she became aware of the fact that she was next in line for the throne. This little girl realized she was next in line for the throne. And she looked at her tutor and she said to the tutor, I will be good. I will be a good person. Well, the fact that Victoria would one day be the queen motivated her to a higher level of living. She said, I will be good. And one day, the Bible says, you and I will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And so what we need to say today is, I will be good. Jesus Christ rendered good for evil. And so you and I, who will one day reign with Jesus Christ, need to begin practicing kingdom living today. And that's what Matthew 5 is all about, kingdom living, as opposed to earthly, sensual, and selfish living. So the reaction to persecution, we must first of all prepare ourselves. The Bible says, arm your mind with the mind of Jesus Christ. Now the second point here on the reaction to persecution, you're not going to like as much. But let's look at it anyways, all right? James 1. James 1. The second point, when someone persecutes you, reviles you, or speaks all manner of evil against you falsely, you're not going to like it, but I want you to see it. James chapter 1, verse number 2. How many of you would have to say, sometimes when I read something in the Bible, I don't like it? Right at first. I don't understand it. I don't see how I can do it. Let's read it. James 1, 2. Ready, begin. My brethren, count it all when you fall into diverse temptations. The second reaction is to rejoice. The Bible says, when you fall into different kinds of trials, you are to rejoice when you're persecuted, when you're reviled against. And I tell you, friend, I've had trouble over the years always understanding that. Someone is persecuting you, they're reviling you, they hate you, they're saying things about you that you don't even recognize your own self by the time it gets back to you. And you're supposed to say, goody. How can you do that? Well, I believe this. As I have experienced in my own life through the Scriptures, persecution, reviling, etc., will always drive us closer to God, and it will always cause us to examine our priorities in life every time. I've never had trials in my life without finding myself being driven to prayer, being driven to the Word of God. Whereas I may be reading the Bible, I may be praying every day, but now all of a sudden there's something going on and it's like, God, what's going on here? Why is this happening? And I find that during those times, I am driven down to my knees. I'm spending tremendous amounts of time in prayer. And in the prayer, I'm going, Lord, Here's my heart. Is there something here that I was missing, Lord? Is there something here that you want to teach me here? Show me, Lord, and teach me, because, God, I need your help, and I want to be more like you. And then oftentimes during those times as well, the Lord will begin to rearrange priorities. And all of a sudden he'll say, well, now that I've got you here, I'd like to spend a little more time with you on a daily basis. And now that I've got you here, I'd like to tell you, your family is very important to me. Now that I've got you here, I'd like to tell you that I want you to have the right attitude about such and such. And I'm going to tell you the reason that you can rejoice during times of trial and persecution is because those times, if you have the mind of Christ, will always draw you closer to God, not farther away from God. And that's something to say goody about, being closer to God. Knowing Him more intimately because of that time. And trials oftentimes will point us to a closer relationship to God and a closer relationship to our family. I have some older pastors and pastor friends and retired pastors that I like to talk to and get counsel from. And over the years, I'll call them and I'll say, hey, here's the situation. And I'll say, A, B, C, D, E. And what do I do? And boy, I don't understand the ministry. And help me with this. You know, I've found, and oftentimes they'll talk about everything but what I'm trying to talk to them about. I'm trying to talk about the building program. I'm trying to talk about this circumstance. That, and all of a sudden they're saying, so how much time did you spend in prayer yesterday, Brother Chapel? What's God given you from His Word, not for your sermons, but for you? And I'm like, that's not why I called you, brother. That's a good question, but I got to ask you about this stuff over here. I remember some time back, I was sitting in a restaurant and with Dr. David Gibbs, and I was trying to talk to him about all things for the church and just pick his brain, get all this counsel while I had him. I had a list of questions this long, you know. What about this? What about this? So I'd ask him two or three questions, and he'd kind of doodle. And he'd say to me, he'd say, Brother Chapel, how's Miss Terry lately? That's what how he refers to my wife. And how's Danielle? How's Larry? What about Christine and Matt? How are they doing? I think they're doing fine. Now, I got these other questions here for you. And we go through all these questions, you know. And I'd say, now, what about this thing? And what about this? And how do I do this? And he'd doodle some more. And he'd say, by the way, how's Miss Terry lately? How's Danielle lately? And we'd go through the whole thing again. And I'd say, now, here's some more questions. And he'd say, have you had a date lately with Miss Terry? When was the last time you had a vacation with that family? You know, after a while, I just threw my pad away. As I realized what he was trying to tell me, he said, I want to talk to you about some things. I want to encourage you about your walk with God, your walk with your family. You know, sometimes we think, boy, I've got to solve all these problems. You know what God wants to say? No, you don't. You just need to get closer to me. You just need to get closer to the things that I've given to you. And you see, that's why you can rejoice in times of trial. In fact, turn in your Bible to Psalm 119 for a moment. Psalm 119. Now I want you to see this in verse 67. This is our reaction to persecution. We must prepare ourselves, and then we must rejoice when it comes. And I don't think any of you can say, boy, that's what I always do, just first thing, I just rejoice. But that's what we will do as we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And look at what the psalmist said. Psalm 119, verse 67. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Now think of that. He says, you know, when everything was going good, I was going my own way. That's how we are. Man, when we've got the job and the overtime and things are going good, we're going to sometimes go astray. But when the affliction comes, whoa, the psalmist tells us here in no uncertain terms, verse 67, he says, but now I've kept thy word. Woo, boy, I got my eyes off of you, Lord. But when the trial came, I got back to your word. Notice what else he says, verse 71. He says, it was good for me that I've been afflicted. That I might what? Learn thy what? Statutes. He says, you know, that persecution, that was actually, looking back, probably pretty good for me. Because now I've learned some things from the Bible I would have never learned before. I'm going to tell you something. You go through a trial in your life, you'll learn more about prayer during that trial than you would normally. You go through a time where you're suffering some persecution or reviling as the scripture said, speaking all manner of evil against you falsely. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find yourself plowing into the Word of God. And when you come through that, like Job, you'll be refined and you'll come forth as gold. And not only that, but you will be able to say, I have learned thy statutes. You know why? Because you were much more of an attentive learner. You know who's listening to me most intently this morning? People who know they have a need to get something today. I mean, there's an open heart there because we know that we need to hear from God. And so we can rejoice because God is going to use the trials to teach us what we would have never learned. So we see the reaction to persecution. We must prepare our hearts. We must rejoice when it comes. And thirdly, we must respond in love. We must respond to our persecutors in love. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 5 for just a moment, this time to verse 44. Make sure your neighbor has a Bible, by the way. Matthew 5, 44. We must respond to our persecutors in love. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now someone said, boy, Pastor, this is a real Christian message this morning, isn't it? I mean, you're telling us to go out and act like Christians act, aren't you? That this is what Jesus says. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, here we see that we must respond in love. By the way, you'll notice from this verse, Christian love is not some shallow sentiment. Love in our vernacular today is, yeah, sweetheart, you treat me the way I want to be treated, I'll love you. As long as that guy's doing what I want him to do, then I'll love him. As long as the preacher's saying what I want him to say, then I'll love him. But that's not Bible love. In fact, the Bible says in this verse, as you and I are to love our enemies, we're to pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. You see, when we are finding ourselves in a time of trial or persecution, we are to be prepared for that. We're to rejoice because, good, the Lord's going to draw me closer to Him, and we must respond in love. Ronald Reagan, in 1982, some of you recall, was shot by a man named John Hinckley. What a tragic moment, what a frightening moment for the nation whenever our president would be in danger like that. And Ronald Reagan, as he was speaking to a friend the next day after that shooting, he said these words. He said, I know that my physical healing will be partially due to my ability to forgive John Hinckley. Powerful. If he was there filled with rage and anger and get that man and let's get him, he said, that's not going to help me heal. You know why you're going to carry the problems that you have to your next marriage or your next church or your next job? It's because you've not maybe forgiven something right now today that you need to forgive. You see, we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. We need to rejoice when someone maybe wrongs us a little bit. And then we need to say, Lord, help me to love them. Help me to pray for them. Help me to patiently work through this rather than to get in the flesh and try to make it right in my own way, as so many do. I wonder today, is there someone that has persecuted you for your faith? Or someone that has wronged you when all you were trying to do was right? Let me encourage you. Pray for them. Don't get bitter against them. Take the kingdom route. Take the high road. Don't take the low road. So the reality of persecution, all those who will to live godly lives are going to have it. The reaction to persecution needs to be a reaction that is Christ-like, and we must allow it to drive us closer to the Lord. And then thirdly, the reward of persecution. The reward of persecution is found back in Matthew chapter 5, and you'll see it, first of all, in verse number 11, in the word, blessed are ye. Blessed. Now, the word blessed means a serenity of soul or an inner joy and happiness. Blessed. So the Bible says, when you are suffering persecution, even then, from God's kingdom perspective, you are blessed because there is an inner character developing in your heart. There's an inner working happening during that time. The creation of an inner joy in your heart. God says, though you may not understand it, it's a blessing in disguise. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you. John Wooden, the famous UCLA basketball coach, said something to one of his teams. He said, be more concerned with your character than you are with your reputation. Because your character is what you really are. Your reputation is merely what people think you are. And I want you to know today that God is more interested in my character and your character. He's more interested in my inner development as a Christian than he is for right now or for all of eternity what someone might have thought about me. And that's why he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Why? Because God says, I'll use that to develop an inner spring of joy and character development. And he says, that's far more important than having everybody like you. And friend, if you live the godly life, everybody won't like you. But if you can say, God's still working on me, and there's something happening in my heart, and I'm drawing closer to him, that's all that really matters. That inner character. And so blessed, the Bible says, happy, because there's inner development going on. And then verse 12, the second reward is stated in these words. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now pastors identify with the word prophet being forth-tellers of the word of God. And every pastor experiences the opinion polls. Some say, you're too conservative. Some say, you're not conservative enough. Some say this and some say that. But what really matters is, Lord, am I right on with you? Am I going where you would have me to go? And look what it says. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, folks, that's where it really matters right there. You may not receive the accolades at work tomorrow because you stand up for Jesus, okay? And I think I know of a few times where some men that I know were passed over for a promotion because they wouldn't go out and knock down a few hard drinks after work. Possibly. But I want to tell you something. There's a greater judgment day coming. There's a greater reward day coming. And that reward is when you see Jesus and you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. God says that's going to matter a lot more than moving up the management ladder, is hearing those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Persecution and suffering are a real part of the Christian life. Persecution and suffering are something that should be expected by the Christian. And we must prepare to have the proper response in order that we might draw closer to God. Paul the Apostle, who knew much about this, said in Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him, that I may know the power of his sufferings and of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What does that mean? Paul says, yes, I've known some persecution, but I also know him more intimately because of it. I know the fellowship of his suffering.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God. But the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to him in faith, to trust him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the Ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.